And we're in Psalm 23, again, Psalm 23 and verse number 4. We're going to take a look at the last part of verse number 4, and we're going to be done with verse 4 and move on to verse number 5 and 6, Lord willing, next week. There can be no doubt that we are living in the midst of some very perilous times in this world in which we live. We've seen in recent times how circumstances of this life can change quickly. I mean, COVID came upon us and just kind of blindsided us a little bit. Remember when that hit a couple of years ago now? We may be blessed to have experienced life on the mountaintop at times. But it's easy to thank the Lord during those times. However, we may suddenly find ourselves having to negotiate through a dark valley of trials or tribulations where maybe the shadow of death is just kind of hanging over us. Living in perilous times makes it difficult for many to find comfort. But that should not be the case for those of us that are the Lord's sheep. If we're saved by God's grace, we have the helper, don't we? We have got a helper. And the Lord is our shepherd. And we have been seeing through Psalm 23 that because the Lord is our shepherd, that we can find comfort in His presence. And as we move deeper into Psalm 23, we should sense our need to move closer to our shepherd and to stay close to Him. Just got two things to bring to you tonight as we take a look at this. I thank God we have a shepherd who is personal. Take a look at verse number 4. Again, let's read verses 1 through 4. And we see the personal nature there in both verse number 1 and verse number 4. The Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and here's what we want to deal with tonight, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We saw in verse 1 how the psalmist began speaking about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we have seen the psalmist has said some important things about the shepherd there in verse 1 through 3 that we just read. But we pointed out a change when we got to verse number 4. There's a change that takes place. Instead of talking about the shepherd, it begins talking to the shepherd. And that's even more personal in it. He begins communing with his shepherd, and he says, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Now, this comes not only from the sheep's knowledge of the shepherd, but more importantly, it comes from the sheep's experience with the shepherd. Okay, knowledge and experience, two things. We can learn about our shepherd as we increase in what we know about him from reading the Word, studying the Word of God, and being taught in the Word. As we move through the Word of God and study, we can see others' interaction with him, and we learn about him. We could call that book knowledge, right? Book knowledge. And as we learn about him, we may talk about him and exalt him before others for all of what we learn about him, and we should do that. You know, there may be some things that are said about God that you haven't personally experienced, but that doesn't make him any less great or him any less of a great God. And we need to praise him for his attributes, amen. And as we learn about him, talk about him, and exalt him, we're glorifying him. Now, we may even talk about him and exalt him in our worship of him, and that we should do as well. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse number 3, he says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. As we come together as God's people on Sunday and for our worship services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, it ought to be that we exalt the Lord together. You know, we ought to lift up his name together. We ought to, that's why we sing together, sing songs together. We are magnifying his name, exalting his name. And that's great. But what about our shepherd? You know, what he really wants for us to do is to know more than just about him. Okay? not just book knowledge in our worship of Him. He wants us to move from that book knowledge to our own personal experience with Him in our worship of Him. As you're going through life and you go through those valleys and He helps you while you're in the valleys, you find some sweet times there that He helped you through those valleys. And those are the things that we bring before Him and say, just thank You for being the shepherd that You are. Psalm 28, verse number 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Listen to what He says. He says, "My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." Now, he's talking about his experience with the shepherd there. And Psalm 28, verse 7. Now, when the Lord does something for us personally, as we go through a dark valley, it causes us to draw near to Him, or at least it ought to. Amen. It causes us to draw near to Him with a heart full of gratitude as we praise Him and exalt Him because of what He did for us. That's a proper response, isn't it? It is. And you know, some valleys are darker than others, but any valley that the Lord helps you in and helps you through, then that's something to praise Him for. And that's when we come to know the Lord by personal experience. In a greater way, by personal experience. So there's a world of difference between talking to others about Him from what we learn about Him from the Bible and what we learn about Him from our experience with Him as our good shepherd. And there's a world of difference between talking to Him from what we learn about Him from the Bible and talking to Him and communing with Him from our experience with Him as we go through those valleys. When David went through the valleys in his life, he came to know the Lord in a deeper, more meaningful way. I want you to think about this. We've already pointed it out earlier. Think about David as he was in the valley of danger as a shepherd. He talks about the time when he was in danger as a shepherd. In 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse 37, he gave the Lord the glory for having delivered him out of the paw of both a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know how you were when you were a youth, and he wasn't a man at that point. He was just a youth, just a kid. A lion and a bear would put the fright in me. How about you? You know, right now, they'd put the fright in me. If you're out there and you meet them in the wild, they'd put the fright in you. Well, the Lord got him through those times, and he was able to deliver the sheep out of the paw of both the lion and the bear. And that experience caused him to be able to trust the Lord to deliver him from Goliath. I mean, that's when he brought it up. He said, "Man, the Lord got me through a lion and a bear. He's going to get me through you too." I mean, but in so many words, that's what he told Goliath. And it strengthened his trust in the Lord. And I'm sure that was also instrumental in his trusting the Lord through the many attempts on his life at the hand of King Saul. Can you imagine being in constant danger? King Saul trying to hunt you down, and any time he saw you, he tried to throw a javelin at you and tried to see if he could nail you to the wall with it. But the Lord got him through those times. And I'm sure that those earlier times with the lion and the bear got him through some of those later times. And it was instrumental in those times, and he didn't take matters into his own hand and try to kill King Saul himself. He knew that God had a purpose, and he let God take care of it. Amen. Now, what valley or valleys will it take to move us beyond our mere book knowledge of the Lord and draw us nearer to our shepherd with a desire to cleave to Him and to lean upon Him and to walk with Him and to commune with Him, to know Him and to fellowship with Him in a greater way than we ever have before? Because that's the Lord's desire as He helps us through those things. The safest place for us as we walk through the valleys of this life, and the valleys are getting more and more, aren't they? I mean, you see them cropping up, and where we need to be at, I can assure you, is as close to our shepherd as we can possibly be. This is no time for unfaithfulness. This is no time for unfaithfulness in your devotion life, Now, the Bible needs to be foremost in your life, praying to the Lord, talking to Him about the valleys that we're facing. That's what He wants. He wants us to draw close to Him because it's our shepherd. It's in Him that we find safety and deliverance through our valleys. It's no time for backing off. It's time to move closer to the shepherd. So thank God we have a shepherd who is personal. Second thing I want us to see tonight is thank God we have a shepherd who is powerful. And there, the latter part of verse number 4, he not only says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, but he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I want us to take a look at the rod and the staff tonight. The shepherd of David's time used simple things in shepherding his flock. And he used a rod and he used a staff. Now, rod was a weapon. Now, before I studied this out, I didn't know that. You know, I thought the rod was just, you know, like the staff thing. But there's a difference between the rod and the staff. And the rod was used by the shepherd to guard the sheep. It was a weapon. It was not a gun. Didn't have guns back then. He didn't have a bow and arrow or a spear. It was just a stick. It was really more like a club. You know, more of a club, the rod was. And the rod was used by the shepherd to guard the sheep. Young people like David, who were growing up working as shepherds, they learned how to use that effectively. And they could zero in on trouble with it. The shepherds learned how to throw the rod with great accuracy at long distances, and they could hit their targets well with the rod. And it basically became an extension of their body. You know, just boom. Just think about him getting his sheep out of danger because of maybe a wolf attacking or a bear or whatever. But that's what the rod was for. It was the offensive weapon that he had. The shepherds also carried a staff. The staff was a long stick, longer than the rod, and most often it was curved on the end. Purpose for that is seen in how it was used. The staff was used to lean on, but also the staff was used to guide the sheep or help to retrieve the sheep. If a lamb happened to be wandering away, the shepherd could just reach out with that staff with that crook in it and just pull him back into the path, right? And as you could do that. If a little lamb fell in the water and was in danger, the shepherd could reach out with a staff, hook it around the body of the little lamb, bring him up out of the water. So that's the purpose of the staff. If a lamb became entangled in briars or was caught in a thicket and could not get out, well, the staff could be used to tear those things loose from the wool coat that the lamb had and free that lamb. Now, with the rod to guard and the staff to guide the shepherd, with the rod to guard and the staff to guide, the shepherd had all that was needed to comfort any of his sheep through whatever they faced in the valley. Now, I want us to look at a few things from another passage in the Bible about a rod, a shepherd's rod. And I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. Let's look at a few things here. I want us to see Moses' rod. You know, Moses was a shepherd too. In fact, Moses was a shepherd for 40 years on the backside of the desert. He was tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep there when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. Remember that? And so he got the burning bush. The Lord calls out to him, and he's calling him into service to lead Israel out of Egypt. And Moses really wasn't wanting to do this, but the Lord called him anyway, and the Lord kind of canceled his excuses out. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 2, let's take a look at verse number 1 and 2 in order to get the context here. says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice," talking about the children of Israel. "For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." I mean, he's a shepherd. He's out there shepherding his flock, and he's got a rod. You know, he's the, you would expect him to have a rod there. And he said, "Cast it on the ground." He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. I got some a little like Moses that way. I see a snake, I'm going to flee from before it. Okay. Don't like live ones, don't like play ones, and don't like dead ones. I just don't like snakes, okay? And then, of course, the Lord said to him, "Put forth thine hand, take it by the tail," there in verse 4, and he put his hand, he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand again. So we see here that the rod was a symbol of the Lord's power and authority. In fact, we find, look down at verse number 17. He points out the rod again. He said, "Thou shalt take this rod," okay? Over in verse number 2, we saw Moses just called it a rod. And now the Lord said, "You take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And it was used in 6 out of the 10 plagues in Egypt. Verse number 20, it says here, "Moses took his wife and his sons, and he set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God." Okay? It was a rod, and then it became this rod, but when he surrendered it to the Lord for his use, it became the rod of God. God can take the simple things in our hand. When we take and yield them to him, he can use them in great and mighty ways. And so it was a representation of the Lord's power and authority. And as I said, it was used in 6 out of the 10 plagues in Egypt. In fact, we're not going to read all these passages, but I'm going to tell them to you and tell you what was going on. Okay, Exodus 7, verses 8 through 12. He repeated what the Lord just had him do, throwing the rod down. It became a serpent, and remember the magicians did the same thing. Egyptian magicians, except when they threw theirs down, it became a snake. His snake ate all their snakes. Yeah, so the Lord is a little more powerful there, don't you think? Then in Exodus 7, verse 15 through 21, the water was turned to blood. The Lord told him to take the rod and spread it out upon the water, you know, stretch his hand forth. Then he was told to take the rod again, stretch it forth, and frogs came in Exodus 8, verses 5 and 6. Then Exodus 8, verse 16 and 17, the lice, and that was when the magicians tried to do the same thing. They did the same thing, and they couldn't do the same thing. And said, "This one's the finger of God." Yeah. And then the hail in Exodus 9:23, and the locust in Exodus 10 and verse 13. Now, where I want you to go now is in Exodus 14, because here, after the plagues, using the rod in 6 out of the 10 plagues, we see in Exodus 14 and verse number 10, it is used here at a critical juncture in the children of Israel's life. I mean, they got their back up to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming. And they said, "What in the world are we going to do? You brought us out here to die." And we see, look at verse number 10. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh," where Exodus 14, verse 10, "when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And he says, And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts and his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So, again, we see here that it was used as a symbol of the Lord's power and authority in dividing the Red Sea. The next time we see it is in Exodus 17. And this was where Moses was with the people. They were wanting water. He goes to the Lord, and the Lord says, told him to strike the rock. And look at Exodus 17, verse 5 and 6. The Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Talking about the when he parted the sea. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. There shall come out water come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. And so the Lord provided the water. We next find it in, just in the verses below here. The battle with Amalek, verse number 9 here. Well, let's look at verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Remember, they had to prop up his hands, and he's got that rod. And his hands would get heavy, and when the hands would come down, Amalek would prevail, and they kept his hands up. Israel would prevail, and so they put some took some stones, put up under him, and he held his hands up, and they were able to get the victory over Amalek that day. But the last time that we see him use the rock, he used it in the flesh rather than using it the way he should have used it. And it has to do with the one previous to what we just talked about. He needed water, struck the rock, because the Lord told him to strike the rock. But the next time is in Numbers chapter number 20. In Numbers chapter number 20, he wasn't supposed to strike the rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but he got mad. He got in the flesh, and Exodus chapter number 20, and verse number 11, it says that Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So we need to be careful about how we use the things of God. Amen. The Lord was the shepherd, though, who was powerful for his people, the flock of Israel, as he brought them out of Egypt in the plagues. And as he got them through the Red Sea, and as he even got them through the wilderness there to the land. So that's the rod of God. What about the staff? Well, the shepherd used the staff to guide the sheep. And I read one time that a shepherd could walk by a sheep that had become jittery and nervous And simply by just laying the staff against the body of the sheep would walk alongside close to the shepherd, and he would calm down. And the sheep would be comforted and calmed by the staff of the shepherd simply lying against its body as he walked. Now, I believe that the rod represents to us the powerful word of God. And I believe the staff kind of work the same way as the Holy Spirit of God in guiding us. We're going to be talking about the Spirit of God this coming Sunday morning, and where we're at in the Gospel of John. We'll be taking a look at that guide that our shepherd left us. Amen. And so trust that you'll join us then. Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. And let's pull out our prayer list. And I'm going to have Brother Mike pray for the needs here and dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight.